You're listening to Cross Currents from KELW News. I'm Hannah Baba.
You know, must have been like 8 years ago. I just driving by, I'm seeing them out here, and I'm like, what the heck is going on out here? They look funny. They got no gloves. Everyone's yelling, hooting, hollering, and it just looked like a lot of fun. I've always wanted to play baseball.
That was Takashi Holmes, who had stumbled upon a game of Bay Area vintage baseball. The league is devoted to playing by 19th century rules with uniforms and equipment from that era. Players actually do use mitts, but they're practically hand-sized, and there's no padding in the palm and no webbing between the thumb and the index finger. The wooden bats the hitters swing are much heavier than today's models. Reporter Christy Cole took some newfangled audio equipment out to a recent contest to see how the 19th century game was played.
It's a gorgeous sunny Sunday afternoon at Big Rec Field in San Francisco's Golden Gate Park. A small crowd is watching as the San Francisco Pelicans play the Barbary Coasters. It's the bottom of the third inning. The Pelicans just got a hit, putting a man on first base.
Ball.
From afar, this looks like most baseball games, but it's really not. The players' uniforms come from a different era. They wear pants that stop at the knees, knee-high socks with stripes, and short-billed caps without any logos.
Hold.
This is a game of the Bay Area Vintage Baseball League. There are more than 200 vintage teams across the country, from the Menominee Blue Caps in Wisconsin to the Allegheny Ironsides in Pennsylvania. The teams in the Bay Area League use rules from 1886, and they are different from today's game. For instance, the person you and I might call the pitcher is referred to in this game as the hurler. The Coasters hurler takes a small windup and throws. Hurlers can't take the full windup that modern pitchers do. They're allowed 7 balls before being charged with a walk, but they can't intentionally walk a batter. It still takes 3 strikes to get a batter out, but outs are called hands in this league. Whatever you call them, you still need 3 to retire the side. The Coasters get the third hand. Still, they're down 13-4 to the Pelicans, but Coasters infielder Wesley Goodman Levy is not too bummed out by that. He's cheering for his fellow Coasters to rally.
Yeah, Peaches!
Peaches happens to be one of Goodman Levy's teammates. Nicknames are the norm in the Vintage League. Everybody's going to get one sooner or later. Wesley Goodman Levy's is Dread Pirate, a nickname given him by his teammates for the character named Wesley in The Princess Bride. Dread Pirate says you really can't tell who the players are, even with a scorecard. The collared button-down jerseys don't have numbers or names on them. Nicknames are how players come to know one another.
For the first 2 months of playing with these guys, I really didn't know anyone's real name. It was just Juice and Butcher and Peterson and Reverend. It was pretty hilarious, like, trying to discern everyone's real name.
The Pelicans, 18! The Coasters, 9!
It's the start of the 7th and final inning. The Pelicans are ahead by 9 runs, and the Coasters have their last at-bat. And by the way, if that score seems a little high for a baseball game, consider that players use a mitt that looks more like a gardening glove. If you play baseball, or at least a game of catch, think for a moment how much you rely on the longer fingers and the webbing of your mitt to catch a ball. The Coasters' Matthew Milkman Peterson says players in the Vintage League don't have that advantage.
The old-timey equipment is a bit of an equalizer. So people that have a lot more experience and normally would be making great plays if they had modern equipment are equally handicapped by the tiny glove.
That means plays such as a fly ball to the outfield are not automatic outs. The Coasters fail to score in the top of the 7th, ending the game. The teams gather at their respective dugouts to talk and enjoy the sunshine. Meanwhile, players in the next contest between the San Francisco Sea Lions and the San Francisco Eagles start to warm up under the watchful eye of umpire Carl Gibbs.
I'm simply referred to as the sir.
Gibbs says that's what the umpire was called in the 1880s.
A certain reverence they hold their umpires that are did at least in 1886.
Gibbs stands along the first baseline and takes a sip from a tall can of ale. Players and sirs often partake during games. Gibbs notes that it's a friendly contest. In fact, players aren't allowed to challenge his calls, so there's no yelling or showing up the sir at all.
It's a gentleman's game. That's the joy of old-time baseball. It's competitive, but it's not alpha male competitive. Most of the teams, you know, have become friends for a long period of time, know each other for a long period of time. It's a wonderful thing. It's baseball without jerks.
Gibbs wears a top hat, tie, and suit that make him look a little like the Monopoly guy. Only Gibbs has a goatee and more hair. He has played the sir in league games for 7 years. He joined after someone saw him officiate a trivia night at a Scottish bar in the Tenderloin.
So I put together a simple costume, bought a derby hat and wore a black suit, and I just got caught up in it. It's great fun.
That fun is about to begin for the next game between the Eagles and the Sea Lions. As the wind kicks up, bringing in some clouds, the Eagles are up to bat in the top of the first. The team is in its first year in the league, and they have yet to win a game.
One hand.
Go, Rocky.
Where's the one?
For these guys, the vintage league is about being a part of living history. For instance, the Sea Lions took their name as a tribute to the team from the West Coast Negro League Baseball Association, which folded after one season. The Eagles go way back, too.
I've always been a baseball history nerd.
That's Tor Aagaard of the San Francisco Eagles. He's known as Wrangler.
We are a recreation of the very first organized baseball team in California. The San Francisco Eagles formed in 1859 and played their first game on February 22, President's Day of 1860.
That game was reportedly the very first baseball game played in California. The San Francisco Eagles played the Red Rovers over at 16th and Harrison in the Mission. It was quite a spectacle. Anita Day Hubbard wrote about it in the San Francisco Call Bulletin back in the day.
After 9 innings, the score was tied 33-33, and the Red Rovers accused the Eagles of unfair pitching.
Whatever pitching took place back then, it sure wasn't fooling the hitters.
Matt McCloskey, the umpire, decided the play was fair, which so incensed the Red Rovers that they refused to finish the game.
After 3 innings, the Sea Lions lead 14-0. In the Eagles' dugout, Dominic Pops Altieri rubs his left elbow.
Yeah, I got an imprint on my elbow here where it looks like railroad tracks.
Pops got a raised red lump with stitch marks where the ball hit him. The players don't wear batting helmets or much in the way of protective gear, and that makes for lots of ways to get hurt, according to Jeff Bearcat Goodwin, Brody Reverend Romsey, and Chris Bullseye McNeil.
My finger is kind of a zigzag here from a couple of bad plays in the field, but it still works.
There's a lot of jammed fingers, broken fingers, a lot of hurt feelings. No, I'm just kidding. There's not hurt feelings.
I broke a rib. I broke an ankle. Dislocated my finger. That was an open dislocation. The ball seems to find a way to hit me, so I'm the bullseye. Lucky me.
Despite the damage, Bullseye, like most of the players here, sees this game as one he can keep playing well into middle age.
It's just the sound and the feel. It makes you feel like a kid again, so it's worth it. I'm 40. I got about 10 more years of this in me, so if 10, you know, so do it while I can until I break.
Hopefully not.
I'll break again, I'm positive.
Up, high, high.
Run.
Now the Eagles are down to their last at bat. The final Eagles hitter grounds out. The other Eagles meet him near first base. The Sea Lions gather at third.
Huzzah! 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 Sea Lions!
Then the teams come together at home plate for more salutes.
Huzzah, Chris!
And the old guy, 1, 2, 3.
Huzzah!
The players, along with the small group of onlookers that includes some of their children, friends, and the curious, retreat to the grassy hills of Big Rec Field to visit and pack up their gear. The results of both games, lopsided affairs, remain etched in chalk on the green wall behind home plate. The Coaster's Dread Pirate says the scores aren't what really matter.
I look up, I look at like the beauty of this field surrounded by eucalyptus and redwood and pine trees, and it's a beautiful like grass infield, and I've played enough terrible fields to know that even coming out here and losing with these guys is a fantastic afternoon.
In San Francisco, traveling between eras of baseball history, I'm Christy Cole for Cross Currents.